You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Rena Schnurb, 17, was pronounced dead on Friday at the scene of a bombing attack at a natural spring near Dolev, where her family had come to swim. Her father, Eitan, a rabbi in Lod, and her brother, Dvir, 19, were taken by military helicopter to a Jerusalem hospital in a serious condition. Police sappers determined that the bomb had been planted earlier and was triggered remotely when the family approached it. Hundreds gathered on Friday to bury Rena. Her father was unable to attend, but addressed mourners by telephone from his hospital bed. He said, "We're trying to be strong here in the land of Israel, the people of Israel. Rena believed in that. Our response to the murderers is that we are here and we are strong and we will prevail." Lod Mayor Yair Revivo noted that the site where the attack occurred was named after Dani Gonen, a Lod resident who was killed in a terror shooting 4 years ago as they were leaving the spring. He said at the funeral that Rena was a charming and graceful girl who just wanted to go for a dip on a summer's day with her family at the Dani Spring. She studied at a religious girls' school in Lod and was a madracha in Bnei Akiva. Israel security forces arrested three Palestinian men in the West Bank early yesterday in connection with the attack. Soldiers arrested two of the men during raids in the village of Ein Arik. The third man was a resident of the nearby village of Ein Kenia. Troops also reportedly seized a number of surveillance cameras in Ein Arik. Hamas, in a statement, said the bomb attack was proof of the vitality and bravery of the Palestinian people and of the fact that it will not surrender to the crimes and terrorism of the occupation. They also noted that August 23rd, the date of the attack, marks the 50th anniversary of when 28-year-old Australian Dennis Rowan set fire to the Al-Aqsa Mosque, an incident that Hamas blames on Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu appeared to hint on Thursday that Israel was behind attacks against Iran-backed militias in Iraq over the past month. Officials have identified Iraq as a likely growing base of operations for Iran-backed efforts against Israel, but have so far neither confirmed nor denied responsibility for any strikes in the country. An Iraqi government report made public on Wednesday said a massive explosion at the Al-Saqqa military base, a munitions depot run by an Iranian-backed militia near Baghdad, on August 12th, was caused by a drone strike. Netanyahu said in an interview, "I don't grant Iran immunity anywhere. Iran is a state, a power that has sworn to annihilate Israel. It's trying to establish bases against us everywhere, in Iran itself, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen." The interview continued with him acknowledging, "We're acting not only if necessary, we're acting very much in many theatres against a state that seeks to annihilate us. Obviously, I've given the security forces the order and the operational freedom to do what is necessary in order to disrupt these plots by Iran. And obviously, I've also led and in many ways continue to lead a global effort against Iran, and there were many years when I stood alone." The comments followed similar statements from Netanyahu earlier in the week. On Monday, he said, "Iran has no immunity anywhere." Rockets were fired at Israel from the Gaza Strip late on Wednesday and early on Thursday, prompting Israeli reprisal attacks. Thursday morning's rocket attack was the sixth rocket fired at Israel from the enclave in a week. One rocket was fired at southern Israel the previous Friday night, followed by three last Saturday night. Three of these projectiles were intercepted by the Iron Dome anti-missile system. One rocket struck outside a home in the southern town of Sderot, causing light damage but no physical injuries. Soldiers wounded a Palestinian man who attacked them with grenades on the northern Gaza border on Thursday night. The armed attacker was spotted approaching the border fence and launched explosives at soldiers who arrived at the scene. The military later released video footage of the incident. Mohammed El Amadi, a Qatari envoy who heads the Qatari Gaza Reconstruction Committee, crossed into Gaza in the early hours of Thursday morning from Israel with money to distribute to needy families. Postal banks in the Gaza Strip will start to distribute small Qatari grants to 100,000 impoverished Palestinian families today. This week's payment marks an increase in the number of beneficiaries over the last two payments, when 60,000 families received disbursements. The disbursements aims to assist students in Gaza's schools and universities who are set to begin their school year this coming week. Former Premier Ehud Barak yesterday accused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of not standing up to United States President Donald Trump, saying the need to maintain bipartisan support was a vital Israeli strategic interest. Speaking at a cultural event in Shoham, Barak said Netanyahu capitulates to Trump like a puppy and not like a statesman. His comments come as Trump has accused Democrats of not standing up for Israel, of Jews who vote Democrat as being disloyal. Israel last week barred two Democrats, Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar, from entering the country due to their support of the BDS movement, with the announcement coming after pressure from Trump. Trump went on to charge that American Jews who vote Democrat display either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty. No one from the Israeli government has commented publicly on Trump's remarks, though President Reuven Rivlin stressed in a phone call with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat from California, on Wednesday, that U.S.-Israel ties were not dependent on any one party. The High Court of Justice on Thursday heard left-wing petitions to disqualify the extremist Otzma Yehudit political party from running in the September elections and right-wing ones to disqualify several Arab-majority factions after the Central Elections Committee did not ban them. One of Otzma Yehudit's leaders, Benzi Gopstein, who is personally named in the petitions against the party, boycotted the hearing, telling reporters that the game is fixed, the judges already made their decision to disqualify me before the hearing. Gopstein leads the Lehava activist group that opposes interfaith and interethnic marriages and have staged violent protests outside Jewish Muslim weddings and called on the public to inform on any Jewish women dating non-Jewish men. In the Thursday hearing, the petitioners against Otzma Yehudit argued that the party and its leading candidates have a long history of explicit advocacy for racist ideas and policies. Right-wing political forces have regularly petitioned to disqualify the Arab parties on the grounds that they do not support Israel's identification as a Jewish state. Ahead of the April 2019 race, the Central Elections Committee accepted one such petition and voted to disqualify Balat, the most stridently anti-Zionist of the Arab factions, but the decision was overturned by the High Court. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit on Thursday said that local authorities could organize gender-segregated cultural events under certain circumstances. Mandelblit published guidelines for authorities, saying that gender segregation could be permissible if the separation were voluntary and desired by the target audience, and men and women had equal conditions, and separation did not unduly impact on those who opposed it. The release of the guidelines follows a special meeting on the subject with legal officials, and after a gender-segregated concert at a public park in Afula earlier this month, forced the controversial arrangement into Israel's headlines. The High Court barred the August 14th performance in Afula, arguing that segregating women is a form of discrimination and therefore illegal in public places. But the ruling came too late to stop the event from going ahead. This is Peter Jones Pellach.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.